What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It is Monday. Hope your day is off to a good start. And every Monday we do something called Metric Mondays, a little bite-sized piece of information that we give you that you can improve your practice and your life with. And today we've got a great one. Today we're going to be talking about diagnostic percentage. Now, if you get this right, it changes your entire practice. And so I have on today our director of education. Her name is Miranda Beeson, and she takes us on the ins and outs of diagnostic percentage. So please listen up. I hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast, beginning of another amazing week. Let's hope that's true for you. It is Monday, which means it's Metric Monday. And if you've been following along, it's crazy because you guys actually like this. We've been creating themes in the podcast. And one of the themes we do on Mondays are Metric Mondays. And it's a little bite-sized piece of information, something you can use as you're driving to the practice today. I want you to think about this. And you can go and look at it and learn and improve your practice right away. And I have my amazing co-star. Her name is Miranda Beeson, and she is not only an amazing coach, an amazing leader here, a great friend, but she is also the director of education and you're going to see in no time who the smart one is. And she's going to be guiding us through this. And we've got a great one for you today. So Miranda, what are we going to be talking about today in Metric Mondays?
Oh, hey, Kirk. I'm so excited to be here today because one of my favorite things to talk about is keeping the schedule full. And one of the main ways that we can keep the schedule full is making sure that we are diagnosing enough treatment in the practice to sustain and fulfill our schedule. It's really common for the dentists that we work with and dentists in the community that we engage with to ask that question of, you know, my schedule's feeling a little bit light. I don't feel like I'm quite as full as I should be. I'm looking 2 or 3 weeks out. I'm getting a little nervous. And so the first metric that we like to take a look at when that happens is diagnostic percentage. And what that means is basically we're measuring what is the percentage of patients who've been seen for an exam that have received a new diagnosis for treatment. So again, any patient that's been in for an exam, periodic, comprehensive, a limited exam, those exam codes that we're setting complete, what percentage of those patients left with some new diagnosed treatment, whether it be elective or periodontal or restorative in nature. And that's going to help us to have an idea of, you know, are we diagnosing and treatment planning and presenting enough treatment to keep the schedule full? That's on the business side. And on the other side of that, which is what we always balance it out with, is patient care. And are we diagnosing enough dentistry to know that we're truly supporting the needs and wants of our patients?
Yeah, I love this. And so as you follow along, I'm going to start really high level and take you on this 31-year journey I've been on. And Pete Dawson told me this at the ripe old age, I think of 24. He actually said it in a seminar called How to Put Your Practice in the Top 10%. And I've heard it say many times. You guys, come on. There's $1 million worth of dentistry, probably $2 million worth of dentistry just sitting in those charts. So I want you to be very cognizant of the fact that we're not here in this podcast to make sure you pressure sale any patient. Like, I believe selling is serving. And when you serve patients and tell them the truth, you're going to see all of this falls in line. Do you agree, Miranda?
I love that phrase, selling a serving, because I say often that sell, you know, is a four-letter word in dentistry, but we are selling our services, we're selling our practice, we're selling our own expertise to the patients. And every time they come in, they're choosing through that consideration phase of the buying process to stay with us and have us be the ones that help them on this journey or not. And it is our responsibility to make sure that we're serving them in their needs and wants. And to some degree, that does mean that we're selling our practice and ourselves and our abilities in that service. So I really like that phrase, selling is serving. Yeah. And I think you're right. And what we often hear from clients is, you know, well, my patients are just healthy. When I see a diagnostic percentage that's low, maybe in the teens or in the 20s, I think to myself, you know, I think we're probably underdiagnosing. And if we have that conversation, the feedback from the client is generally, you know, my patients are just healthier. Or, you know, we have an older population. I do a lot of comprehensive dentistry. There's just not that much dentistry left to do. And in reality, I think there's just probably some underdiagnosed or missed opportunities that are happening in the practice because of that self-limiting belief or that story that we're telling ourselves. We're so committed to that story that it's hard to see past it. So when we are in a practice with a low diagnostic percentage, again, under around 40%, oftentimes it means that treatment's being missed, we're underdiagnosing, or we're not documenting and presenting it. There's often times when practices will talk to a patient about treatment, but they don't necessarily treatment plan it or document it or present it that day. And so that can result from a lot of different things: provider inconsistency, perhaps you have unclear protocols about how to input and present treatment, or a lack of time. A lot of times we're just running busy and we're like just putting out that quick fire and we're not maybe looking at the bigger picture because we don't have time to do so.
Yeah. And then, you know, that's on the low side, but what happens, how does this impact a practice on the high diagnostic percentage side of things?
Yeah, when you're looking at high diagnostic percentage, so 40% or above, that often reflects on a really well-calibrated team, a team that does know how to consistently identify disease, that feels confident in presenting that to patients, to building value around that with patients. It usually shows that the practice culture supports comprehensive care. So presenting proactive options versus just watching problems until they become urgent. So you kind of tend to see two different things in practices, and it's that reactive versus proactive treatment planning. And if we're reactive and we're waiting for the patient to report it as a concern or the tooth to demonstrate a sense of urgency, we're going to have a lower diagnostic percentage than those practices that are looking at perhaps the bigger picture beyond that limited concern of the patient or beyond that one thing that's screaming at us when we're doing the exam. For example, if there's a broken tooth around a large broken down amalgam, and we see that another amalgam in the posterior has open margins, the cusps are turning bluish gray, we can see some craze lines, but it's asymptomatic. Do we present that as a proactive option as well, while we're also treatment planning that reactive approach to what the patient came in for? So when we see that higher diagnostic percentage, it generally says that we're looking at the bigger picture and we're treatment planning a little more proactively or comprehensively. Yeah. Both of them impact production and patient health. So just like we said at the top of this, it's going to impact the schedule and what we're producing in the future. And it's also going to impact patient care. The lower that percentage, the fewer people are getting the care that they need or want, because some of them want treatment that we're not even talking about, like cosmetic things, veneers, whitening, things of that nature. So when the numbers improve, we know that the patient's health improves and their desire to have whatever is healthy to them show up more and more.
Yeah. And what's really cool about this is in the short term, Miranda's exactly right. Both the production and patient health improve. But in the long term, you start to build your reputation on what you do. And as you do this consistently, in a market where you get known as somebody who does it the right way, you get more and more patients that come in and say, I need to, somebody to do this the right way now. And so think about the long tail of this when you get better about it. You get more confident, your team gets more confident. But like Miranda, let's say I'm a dentist listening to this, driving in, and it's not great. Coach me. Like, what do I do today? What do I do this month other than hire you as my coach?
Well, one thing you can do is establish some baselines for what is healthy. So we do this a lot with teams around periodontal protocol, and I'm sure we'll talk about that metric in the future as well, but you can do it around just your philosophy of care in general. Determining as a practice, what is your philosophy of care for the practice? And you're going to measure against a bar of what is healthy. And if you determine as a practice that healthy is helping to mitigate risk, not just repairing things once they're broken, right? We ask ourselves, what risks are we helping patients mitigate? What does a healthy joint appear as when we're doing an evaluation? What does restorative bacterial health look like? Do we watch a lot of little things until they're much larger? Do we patch things versus do comprehensive repairs when we have bacterial breakdown? What does restorative functional health look like? Do we evaluate for wear and bite and occlusion and how that is impacting all these issues that are showing up time after time in our patient's mouth? What does a healthy, stable periodontium look like? You can actually sit down and have a conversation with your team about what is the bar for healthy around all of these different levels of aesthetics, function, bacteria, periodontal. And once you've set that bar as a team, it's so much easier to look at a patient and say, okay, we've decided that healthy is this, but we don't see that in this patient's mouth. So we should be doing something. What should we be doing? So the easiest thing is to just set that bar of our philosophy of health around those key components of what we're doing in an exam.
I love that. And that's one of the misses a lot of dentists have is they don't spend any time, and you know who you are, clinical calibration. Jim McKee, who's a regular guest on the podcast, said all throughout his career, he would create PowerPoint presentations and tell stories about what he's seeing, and he would order in lunch from everybody. What a great team meeting lunch just to talk about cases, what he's seeing, because he's changing as well as his team's changing to get us all aligned. Oh, there's that word again on how do we take care of people. So now you also mentioned co-discovery and co-diagnosis. Like, can you talk about how to leverage that?
Absolutely. I think another key piece of this is sometimes there's just a level of confidence in diagnosing and how are we communicating that to a patient. I think about newer dentists that I've worked with who are, I say newer, meaning maybe they've just come out of residency and they've bought their own practice and they're trying to form this trust and this bond with patients. And so perhaps they're a little leery or they don't have the confidence yet. They haven't had enough people say yes and have, you know, life-changing results from the dentistry they've done to feel confident doing it. And so they aren't exactly sure how to present. And so they'll soften the blow or they'll just kind of watch that for a little while. In reality, the concepts of co-discovery and co-diagnosis can really lessen the pressure on the practitioner because when the patient is a part of that conversation and an active participant, it's not relying all on you to be the expert to deliver this information. When the patient gets to see what's going on through way of scans or intraoral photography, extraoral photography, or radiographs even, they're more likely to understand what's going on and to say yes, or even ask you for treatment to solve those problems without you having to be the one to, like we were saying earlier, sell the dentistry. And then we're able to serve them in a way that they're really wanting and asking for versus us feeling like we're maybe pushing this treatment. Patients are not, I like to use this word, they're not information receptacles, right? Right. They're not just like this bin waiting for us to dump all of our expert opinions onto. We really need and want for them to be active participants in the conversation. And when they are, and when we use those visuals, the biggest win is when they say, well, is there something we can do about that? And now they're asking for you to solve that problem. And you can present and diagnose treatment in a way that feels, again, like you have permission versus feeling like maybe you're forcing it upon someone if you're not quite confident enough yet.
Yeah, love it. And there's also a lot of great tools out there. We're big fans of technology to help you with a second opinion. Can you just shed some light on that?
Yeah, I think one of the really best things that has come along and dare I say like coolest in innovations in dentistry has been AI with radiographs. So we work really closely with Pearl. And what I think is amazing is to be able to have that resource of technology as a second opinion. It's not designed to diagnose for you, but it's designed to be right there as a second opinion to what you are already on the fence about, or perhaps to even kind of clue you in or cue you in on what to look for. We talked about time earlier. If you're in a hurry and you're reviewing through radiographs, what a great piece of technology to help support cueing you in on things to maybe take a second look at that you might have overlooked right off the jump. The other thing that's really great about AI in this sense is it can really co-discover with the patient for you. They can really see what's going on a radiograph so much better through the use of some of the overlay colors and imaging that the software provides versus just all these shades of gray that they see when we're looking at an X-ray otherwise. So when you're having these treatment presentation conversations, it's not only helping you as the clinician to diagnose and make sure we're not missing the mark on anything or confirm even opinions that we might have about something we're seeing, but it's also helping the patient to be able to see what we're seeing in a different way and illuminate that for them a little bit better. So I think it's really great. Kind of the next step that they've really taken it to at Pearl is also now having reporting and practice insights that are elements that help not only the clinicians, but also the admin team. So when you're prepping for huddle and things like that, it's actually reviewing radiographs to say like, hey, of the 12 people coming in tomorrow, there's 8 people who have what we think is probably undiagnosed treatment based on what we can analyze through our artificial intelligence technology around the X-rays that were taken last time they were here. And it preps your team to be more prepared for looking at those things when the patient comes in next time. So super innovative, great way to help with that diagnostic percentage. And again, like we've said, it's not just about raising that percentage. It's about that because yes, production numbers, schedule, reducing your anxiety as a provider, but also making sure we're delivering the care that our patients really want and need.
Yeah, I love this. And I got to keep these short, but like, again, it's the percentage of patients seen, let's just say in a day, who received a diagnosis for treatment. I do have one question for you because this comes up. I get it, Miranda. Like, my percentage should be high, but, you know, I got these patients. I have some of them that have been here for 20 years. Mrs. Finelli, I've talked to her like 20 times about this, so I'm not going to bring it up again. You know, so, I mean, you deal with this all the time, right? So my diagnosis percentage might not be 40%, it might be 30%, but I'm hitting home runs with lesser percentage. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so just kind of jump in there and just add your quick thought on that one.
Well, you make me want to do a whole other podcast to answer that question. I think it's a couple things. Yes, it needs to be custom to your practice. If you're doing well, you're hitting your goals, you're hitting your targets, like, if you're at 32% and not 40, like, you're not going to, you know, give yourself a hard time about it. But what I would say is you don't ever want to create bias that eliminates where that person is now. And the other side of that is you've talked about the treatment how many times, but how often have you talked about the outcome of the treatment? And that's really the big piece of the puzzle that a lot of clinicians miss is this is the thing that you need. But what about like, this is what you're going to get on the other side of doing what I recommend. And when we lead with the outcome, it's going to present a different response within the patient emotionally and motivationally to say like, I really do want that, or I want to prevent whatever that thing is. And so I don't want a crown, you know, but I do want to make sure that this tooth doesn't break on vacation like the other one did. And so if we can, you know, present that outcome versus presenting the thing to Miss Finelli this time, she might hear it in a different way than she's heard it before.
So well said. This is why you surround yourself with amazing people like Miranda. She's seen it all in dentistry. Miranda, that was awesome. So thank you so much for being here on Monday to share these thoughts. So stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for tuning in. We're watching the metrics on the backside of these things. I don't know how it's working. I don't even know how it works. I don't even care. I just appreciate the fact that you're showing up and we're going to keep bringing it. So today's metric is diagnostic percentage. You don't need to be perfect. Just figure out where you are and make a little bit of progress every week. And you're going to see things get better exponentially. So that's what we're here for. And if you struggle with any of this, you can join us at the Best Practices Association. We now have a free app. Nothing is better than free. You can go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and start your journey today. Just search Best Practices Association. You can join us back there. And you can also come to our To the Top Study Club. If you want, you can come for free as one of our guests. Like, how easy is this? We're giving you a bunch of free stuff. Take advantage of it. You'll love it. I promise you. And if you tried everything and you're just like, I've tried everything, this isn't working, don't do that anymore. We have coaches that can help you make this happen so you create a better practice and a better life. So keep tuning in on Mondays. We're going to keep bringing you great metrics. Hope you guys enjoy your week. And until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.